Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, co-equal, three in one.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the Old Testament reading for 1 Kings. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well, the old man, the king, David, is dead. And his 20-year-old son Solomon is now the new king of Israel. A 20-year-old king. This is a daunting and immense task, and with it comes enormous responsibilities. Solomon had better be dependent upon the Lord to be a faithful king for Israel. After all, the Lord would use this young man as his servant to care for Israel, especially in Israel's trusting in the Lord for salvation and for Israel's holy living according to the Lord's words. And so the Lord appears to Solomon in a dream and says one of the most incredible things you can hear. The Lord says, Solomon, ask for whatever you want me to give to you. Wow. Wouldn't you like to be asked that question by the Lord? Kind of like the Geico commercial? Of course you would. And you're jealous, aren't you, that Solomon gets the question and not you? After all, you too want many things. Tons of cash, health, long life, fabulous home, a couple of Porsches in the garage, powers to crush your enemies at work or in wherever you live. Because, you know, your life is all about who? You. 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 Isn't that how you would exercise the office of kingship? Sure you would. You'd be ruthless in serving yourself for the sake of self. And that's precisely then why Solomon's answer to the Lord's question blows you away. He asks for none of those things. The young king's request is, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? I mean, isn't that incredible? Solomon asks for wisdom. He asks for a discerning heart. Literally, in the Hebrew, it's a hearing heart. I know on the back of the bulletin it says understanding mind. That's really not a good translation. The better translation would be a hearing heart, or a heart that hears your words. A hearing heart who listens to the Lord, that's what Solomon wants, and that is wisdom. It is the highest wisdom. And then Solomon could apply God's word not only to his own life, but also as king in service to the people of Israel. Now the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for a heart that hears the Lord and his word. And so the Lord then promises to give Solomon that and even more. Moreover, I will give you what you didn't ask for, riches, honor, and if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes as your father David did, then I'll even give you a long life. Well, we all know, if you know your Old Testament, Solomon's reign was magnificent. Israel enjoyed massive, massive political and economic prosperity under his reign. Solomon established a vast empire. The borders of Solomon's empire extended to the limits of the land that God had promised to Abraham. In fact, the people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore, 1 Kings 4:20, fulfilling God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12 and Genesis 22. Israel's GDP and stock exchange hit world record highs. Solomon accrued massive wealth. He built the temple in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord, 1 Kings 10. His judicial and administrative wisdom was world-renowned. Israel was a great nation, a golden age, if you will. Well, that hardly describes it. That barely begins to scratch the surface of Solomon's reign. You remember that he penned astute axioms that he put in the forms of proverbs and songs. He never earned a degree in botany or zoology, and yet the lessons he drew from plant and animal life surpassed in variety and in profundity of thought of all the wisdom of all the people of the world. He rendered justice in very difficult cases. He displayed extraordinary executive expertise by dividing the country into 12 administrative districts. His fame was worldwide. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard his wisdom, 1 Kings 4, including, do you remember, a queen from Sheba who was overwhelmed by Solomon's wisdom. She said to Solomon in his presence, "The report that I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But, you know, I didn't believe these things, Solomon, until I came and saw them with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half of what was told me was correct. In wisdom and in wealth, you have exceeded the report that I have heard." 1 Kings 10. And so we must finish the rest of the story. You know, in Paul Harvey style, we must hear the rest of the story. Solomon did not use all the wisdom and the riches and the empire to the glory of God. And he did not use it all for the benefit of Israel. Sadly, tragically, the more that God generously bestowed wisdom and wealth upon Solomon, the more Solomon turned away from God and away from his word to false gods. Can you imagine that? 1 Kings 11 says, Solomon's heart turned away from the Lord. His heart was no longer a hearing heart, what he had prayed for years before. His heart heard only the word of his hundreds of foreign wives, and Israel was led into great sin. First commandment sin. Solomon joined his wives in the worshiping of their idols. Listen to 1 Kings 11, it says. He, namely Solomon, followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. Now, do you realize what those people were expected to do when they worshiped those idols? Do you know what one of the practices was? You take your newborn baby and you put it on the idol of Molech, which is a hollow idol. And they've built a furnace underneath it that heats it up to tremendous heat. And you take that little baby and you put it in Moloch's arms like this until it burns to death. Solomon expected Israel to do the same. And if they could worship God and false gods at the same time, Solomon said, by all means. Or Solomon usually put it this way. You know, this is how it usually goes. You can worship false gods and spin it as the worship of God. That's how he spun it. All Solomon's wisdom was wasted. Only sinful, selfish, idolatrous folly was left. And so what happened? His empire disintegrated. The once great nation, the envy of the world, split into two hostile camps. His kingdom was torn from him. His successor only kept possession of the southern part, two tribes. Israel, for the rest of her history, continued to follow Solomon's idolatrous example of having other gods. And so we learn from this that God does take sin very seriously, especially first commandment sin. Do you remember what the Lord said to Solomon? It was a solemn warning, and I'm going to review it with you here. It's 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. Here's what God said to Solomon. Listen carefully. But if you or your descendants turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you, and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them, and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. This temple will become a heap of rubble. All who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and say, "Why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple?" People will answer, "Because they have forsaken the Lord their God, who brought their ancestors out of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why the Lord brought all this disaster." And yes, indeed, Israel was cut off from her land. In time, God sent the barbarous Assyrians to subjugate and exile the 10 northern tribes. And then God sent the ruthless Babylonians to conquer and destroy and exile the remaining 2 southern tribes. Israel was as good as dead under the sands of time. This is one of the greatest tragedies in the history of the world and the history of the church. And so, this is precisely then why God sends another young king to sinful and rebellious Israel. Who's that? That's right, you guessed it. The 12-year-old Jesus. Everyone who heard him in the Jerusalem temple was amazed, dumbfounded, and taken aback by his understanding, his wisdom, and the wisdom of his answers. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" he says. And so, unlike Solomon, 12-year-old King Jesus has the hearing heart, the perfect one, the sinless one, who trusts his heavenly Father's word completely and who then lives impeccably, not for his own sake, but for Israel and also for you. And then 12-year-old King Jesus goes back to hometown Nazareth with Mary and Joseph. He is obedient to them. And then they have, you remember, the telling remark by St. Luke at the beginning of the reading and at the end of the reading. Do you remember that? King Jesus, as he grows up to be a man, increases in, did you catch it? In wisdom and in favor with God and people. Wise boy King Jesus. The wisdom that he has, the wisdom that exhibits divine favor for you, is the wisdom of reigning on the Good Friday cross. His is the eternal wisdom of God that takes Solomon's sin, Israel's sin, and all your sin in his sacrificed and dead body so that it doesn't belong to you, Solomon, or Israel anymore. His wisdom for you and for all is this: I died for you, Jesus says, and your sin is forgiven. Heaven is yours, and I give you the greatest of all kingdoms, mine. That's what Jesus tells you. And so today in the sacrament, Jesus speaks and he gives even more of his divine wisdom. And he shares his divine kingdom of God reign with you. My body and my blood, eat it and drink it, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. What is his wisdom? His wisdom is to forgive you. Don't those words amaze you? That he would talk to you, a sinner, like that? That he would treat you so preciously like that? That blows my mind. I'm absolutely astounded by that. And I hope you are too. And so, brothers and sisters, I beg you then to take Mary as your example in the presence of Jesus today. Treasure his words of forgiveness in your heart, hearing hearts. After all, 12-year-old Jesus increased in wisdom, and he is indeed the wisdom from God for you, to make you wise for salvation in him, only in his cruciform death. In the name of the wise baby King Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty.